All right, we are holding on Mem Omer Aleph, about a third of the way down the onward. The line begins Bein L'Shvi'is. We're in the middle of discussing dinim involving Shemitah. We're in the middle of discussing dinim involving Shemitah because we said, morning, Ali, that we talked about where if doing Shemitah, what do you do as far as buying the esrog if you're buying it from an Amoretz? Where we said the esrog being a fruit, then the dinim of Shemitah apply to it, and you can't give money for Shemitah fruit to an Amoretz for reasons that we discussed yesterday, because the Amoretz may then get the idea that he should make a whole business out of selling Shemitah fruit, and he's not allowed to do that, or because the money itself that you give him, it has to be treated with Kedushas Shvi'is, as we're going to talk about later on, and he won't know to do that properly. So in the course of the discussion, we also touched on the fact that the Gemara had asked, why don't we say the same thing with the lulav? And the answer was, because practically speaking, we're talking about the lulav, the lulav, a lulav doesn't grow in 2 weeks. So necessarily we're talking about a lulav that started to grow. We're talking about a lulav that mostly grew during the sixth year and now is picked. Fine, it was picked after Rosh Hashanah, but that's neither here nor there. Most of its growth was during the sixth year, and therefore it's not counted as a Shemitah, as a Shemitah thing, as opposed to the Esrog, where we said we had different opinions on the subject, but we said in the end that the Chachamim in Usha decided that an Esrog goes according to when it's picked, or not only as far as Maaser, which we had Rabbi Gamliel saying that, but also as far as Shemitah. Okay, so that's where we're holding now, about a third of the way down on Mem Amud Aleph, line begins Bein L'Shvi'is. So the Gemara asks
why for an esrog it's by the time it's picked and for a lulav by the time it grows? So we said yesterday the reason is
because an esrog tree is like vegetables in that regard, in that it needs a lot of irrigation. It won't grow well only on rainwater. So just like vegetables, we say therefore that it grows according to when they're picked. Because in other words, the idea is as long as vegetables are growing, then you still have a heavy involvement with them, with their growth, namely that you're irrigating them. So therefore, right up until the time they're picked, it's still considered that you're directly involved. Therefore, we go according to when they're picked, as opposed to most fruits instead can grow fine just on rainwater. So therefore, you go according to when they reach one third of their growth. So that's what we had. We had three different opinions. We had Rabbi Gamliel saying that there's a difference in that regard between Maaser and Shemitah. Maaser, you go according to when the esrog is picked, but Shemitah, you go according to when it reaches one third growth, like all other fruits. Rabbi Eliezer had said there's no picked for esrogim at all. It goes completely according to the one third growth, just like all other fruits. And then we had a third opinion of Rabbi Senu, who voted in Usha, and said that it goes according to when it's picked, both for Maaser and for Shemitah. And that's the halacha, and therefore, but that's why an esrog is different, because it needs irrigation, unlike all other fruit trees. Okay, so the Gemara says, Taima de lulav bar shishas anichnas l'shviyasu. Now, what are we saying? Because the lulav mostly grew during the sixth year and only went a few days into the seventh year, only therefore are we saying that it's considered a sixth year thing, and therefore there's no problem buying it from Namaritz. And as we said yesterday, as the Kapis Tamarim says, listen, I mean, obviously the following year, the situation is going to be reversed. The Esrog, there'll be no problem with the lulav. There'll be an issue with the Mishnah. Didn't have to specify that because that's pretty obvious. But so the implication is, if in fact the lulav belongs to the seventh year, then you would say it has kedushas shviyas, and therefore you'd have a problem buying it from Amoretz. The question is why? Why did we take it? Now the Mishnah didn't specify that, and in fact, about to note on the Mishnah just says flat out that the Mishnah didn't say anything about the lulav because the lulav is just wood, and wood doesn't have kedushas shviyas there. But our Gemara is taking the view that in fact the lulav could have kedushas shviyas, And therefore we said, and therefore we asked earlier, we asked previously on the Testament days, why the Mishnah doesn't say any problem with the lulav. And we said, practically speaking, because it grew during the sixth year. But the implication is, in other words, that a lulav could in principle have kedushas shvius. So now the question is why? Amai, eitzim ba'almahu, the lulav is just wood. The eitzim ein behen mishum kedushas shvius. And wood doesn't have kedushas shvius. The tnan, or the tanya really, it's a braisa. Aleikanim, leaves of reeds. So, for example, bamboo leaves or papyrus plant leaves or whatever. Va'aleikfanim, or grape leaves. Shegibavon, if a person collected them, lochoiva, for choiva. Rashi explains that choiva means that choiva is maloshen machve, meaning to hide them away. In other words, to store them to store them away. The different Rishonim talk about another possibility, not lachiva, but lachiva or bichiva or whatever, which means while they're still fresh. Anyway, so a person collected these leaves, which themselves are not really edible, al pnei asada, on the surface of the field. So he goes around the field collecting these leaves. Tosfos points out, I mean, it could be that we're talking dafka where he collects them, l'chayva in order to store them away. Or it could just be that the braisa is just mentioning that because that's the typical reason you'd collect them, but really even if he's not collecting them to store them away. Anyway, do they have kedushas shvius or not? The grapes from the grapevine, of course, would have kedushas shvius. Any produce that grows has kedushas shvius. What about these things? Likta, so it depends. Likta ma'achila, if he collected them in order to eat them, yesh bam mishum kedushas shvius, then they do have dinim of kedushas shvius, and therefore you have the usual rules that you can only eat what's new, that you can only, you can't throw away anything that's edible, and you can't sell them in large quantities, and you have to use the money for purposes of food, etc., etc. On the other hand, lichten la'etzim, but if you collected them as firewood, ein behem mishum kedushas shvius, then they have no kedushas shvius. Oh, la'achila actually says la'maychel behema. Again, we said that they're not really edible by people. I mean, they could, obviously. You know, you have stuffed grape leaves, for example, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about he collected them for animal food. The rule is like this. The Rambam formulates the rule as follows, based on Mishnayos, that when you have there's a few different major categories of produce. You have things that are edible by people, and those are meant to be eaten by people, and those have the rules. For example, you can't feed them to an animal, or as we're going to discuss in the Gemara soon, use them for other non-food purposes. Then you have things like these leaves that we're talking about over here that are normally edible by animals. And therefore, so the rule is you can feed them to animals, but again, you can't use them for medicines or whatever. And you have certain rules on what you can do with them. Then you have things, that are not edible at all. And then you also have things that Amram describes, which we'll touch on later on. You have plants that are usable for soap or laundry purposes or whatever. Like for example, aloe, where those have kedushas shvius as far as that. And you're allowed to use them for that purpose. But again, you have the rules about you can use them only for their designated purpose and so forth. So here we're talking about these leaves are, you might be collecting these leaves for animal food. In that case, then the regular rules of animal food apply to it. So you can feed it to your animals, but you can't waste it, and you can't sell it in large quantities, etc. On the other hand, if you collected them for firewood, ein behem mishum kedushas shvius, then kedushas shvius doesn't apply to them. And so we see, in other words, that firewood kedushas shvius doesn't apply to. So why should it apply to a lulav? So the answer is shiny hossam. The difference is the reason why kedushas shvius doesn't apply to firewood is the amakra lochem la'ochla. The pasuk says about shmita produce that it will be for you to eat, implying lochem dumya da'ochla, implying that when do we apply the rule of lochem, that it's usable for your purposes, is when it's, what kind of purposes are you allowed to use it for? The kind of purposes that are similar to la'ochla, to eating. Now, what happens when you eat food? So what happens is when you eat food, you eat it, you have hana from it at the same time that it's being destroyed. You take the food and you chew it, and at the same time that you're benefiting from it is the same time when it's being destroyed. So therefore, so that includes eating itself, of course. So therefore, Rashi explains, other examples are, for example, you're allowed to take oil of Shemitah, let's say, and smear it on your skin. Same thing, you're enjoying the feel of it on your skin at the same time that it's being destroyed and rendered inedible. The same thing, for example, drinking, lighting a lamp with it. What it means is that, the flip side of that, then Rashi continues, is that it also tells us that what kind of produce do the dinim of Shemitah apply to, the kind where the normal use of them is that kind of use of hana also be ore shava, that you enjoy it at the same time that it's being destroyed. Yotsu etzim, as opposed to wood, shana osan achabiyoran, when it comes to firewood, the hana you get from it is after it's burnt. What does that mean? Rashi explains, when do you, for example, if you're going to bake with it, when do you bake or cook food? What do you do? First, you burn the wood into charcoal, and only then do you put up the pot or the bread or whatever to cook with the heat of it. So therefore, the hana and the beer come at different times. The Ritva gives a different explanation you burn the wood now. When do you really have hana from the bread you baked with it, let's say? Not right then when you bake the bread, only later on when you eat it. So the hana and the beer come at different times. So because of that, based on that, is why firewood is not subject to the dinim of Shemitah. Now, a lulav, on the other hand, Rashi points out, its normal use outside of the mitzvah, of course, the normal use is not for firewood, really. I mean, eventually, once it dries out, you can use it for that. But its primary use before that is as a broom. So what happens? Then you have hana osir b'yorei shava. The moment you start using it as a broom, you start enjoying that because now your house is getting clean. And at the same time, the lulav is getting ruined because it's being used as a broom and it's collecting dust and becoming dirty and disgusting, and you wouldn't use it for any other purpose. So the dinim of Shemitah, Kedushas Shvi'is, will apply to a lulav, where they won't to firewood. And that is why we assumed before that a lulav would have Kedushas Shvi'is, and we ask then, why does the Mishnah not mention that? So again, on a pshat level, the Bar Tanura on the Mishnah kind of ignores that whole point and just says the Mishnah didn't mention the lulav because it doesn't have Kedushas Shvi'is. And it might actually be the maskana in our Gemara that maybe it doesn't. So I'll explain in a second. But our Gemara, at least on the face of it, is explaining that a lulav would have Kedushas Shvi'is. There is an interesting point in that where, first of all, the Gemara is going to go on to continue the discussion about what the primary purpose of a lulav and other kind of wood is. But also an interesting point, actually, that Shlomo Zalman makes is that nowadays nobody uses lulavim as brooms. So maybe indeed, at least nowadays, this din wouldn't apply and a lulav wouldn't have Kedushas Shvi'is. Practically speaking, outside of using it for the mitzvah, there's really no other use you would use for it except for firewood, and therefore, we have minhag, we burn the lulav with our chametz at Pesach, of course. So therefore, arguably then, this din has changed nowadays, and a lulav wouldn't have Kedushas Shvi'is. Although the Shevet HaLevi is not so comfortable with that idea, but he says fine. Maybe based on the continuation of the Gemara over here, maybe there's a different reason to say that it shouldn't. Anyway, so the point is, so firewood doesn't have Kedushas Shvi'is, but a lulav is not firewood. Its primary purpose is as a broom, as we're saying. Therefore, Kedushas Shvi'is applies to it. So the question is, v'ha'ika etzim de moshchan, what about though you have wood of moshchan? Now Rashi explains that means, moshchan is maloshin nishu, mishchan, whatever, means is maloshin mishcha, which is the Aramaic word for oil. So what about oil wood? You have wood, for example, from pine trees or other such trees that has a lot of oil in the wood, and therefore you use it as a torch. So then you have Hana'asir, the moment you set it on fire is the moment you're benefiting from it as a torch to light the way for you. That's according to Rashi. Rabbi Hananel and many other Rishonim learn rather that the word Moshchan is the so according to Rashi, the Shodesh is Moshach, same Shodesh as Mashiach, actually, which means the word Mashiach means anointed, and in Aramaic, the word Mishcha means oil. According to Rabbi Hananel and many other Rishonim, rather, the Shodesh is Shochan, Shin Ches Nun, and the Mem then is a prefix, and it means to warm. The word shchin, in fact, boils, is that it's an inflammation where the body is too hot and when in certain areas and therefore boils break out. You have other places where the shorter shin ches nun means heating. So therefore they explain that it means wood for heating. They explain it means wood for a bonfire. Same idea. You set wood, you make a bonfire, you have the moment of beer. Unlike when you're making a fire in order to cook food, for example, where Hana'asa is not the same as Bi'orei, like we said, when you're making a bonfire, the Hana and the Bi'orei happen at the same time. You're getting the warmth from the bonfire. Anyway, so what about that? The Hana'asa and the Bi'orei and Shava. So either way, whether we're talking about oil wood according to Rashi, or whether we're talking about bonfire wood according to Rabbi Hananel and everybody else, Hana'asa and the Bi'orei and Shava. Then the Hana and the Bi'orei happen at the same time. The answer is Omar Rava Stam Eitzim Lahasaka Hein Omrim. The answer is Rava says, even so, most wood is meant for firewood. Most wood is not meant for torches. So therefore, we're not going to say that Dushas Shvias applies to certain kinds of wood, even if you collected them for torches or for a bonfire. Nevertheless, we're still going to say the general rule is that most wood is used for cooking and whatever, and that therefore, or heating the house or whatever, and therefore, Kedushas Shvias doesn't apply. Which the Gemara goes on to say, the Eitzim lahasaka tanoi. In fact, the question about whether firewood for cooking is subject to Kedushas Shvias. Where again we have Hana'asa and is later on than Bi'orei, there is in fact Tanoihi, there is in fact the Machlokes Tanoim, whether Kedushas Shvias applies to such wood or not. Rashi brings a girsa that he heard from his Rebbeim, that a different girsa, not the Eitzim Lahasaka Tanoihi, but rather Ustam Eitzim Lahasaka Tanoihi. That the machlokas that the Gemara is going to go on to present is going to be on this last question. We just said that most wood is meant for wood for cooking, and the Gemara is going to say that according to that girsa that there's actually a machlokas tanoim whether in fact that's the case. Rashi says I have a very hard time understanding how that girsa could work, how the rest of the Gemara would work, how the continuation of the sugya would work according to that girsa. And Rashi says I can't find it. I found it. Rashi goes on to say I found it in a Ksav Yad of the Gemara from Rabbeinu Gershom, but then I found from Rabbi Yitzchok Reb Menachem who said the Einoi Muga, that's not the correct version of the Gemara. And Rashi says, right, that's not the correct version. The correct version is as he says it, and as we have it printed in the Gemara in front of us, Eitzim Dahasaka Tanoi, whether Kedushas Shvias applies b'chlal to firewood or not. Tosfos and various other Rishonim discuss the girsa that Rashi rejects, and they find reason to accept it after all. This goes back then to the question that we were just talking about a couple of minutes ago, whether in fact Kedushas Shvias applies to a lulav. Ultimately, we could say, if we accept that girsa, which Rashi rejects, then the question would be whether in fact we say that Stam Eitzim Lahasaka and Omdim or not. If we say Stam Eitzim or Lahasaka are meant for firewood, then we would say, therefore, that a lulav is not subject to Kedushas Shvias any more than any other regular wood. You have particularly a lulav could conceivably be used as a broom. Doesn't matter because in general, like we would follow the criteria of most wood, and most wood is meant for fires in order to cook. And that would be a reason, that would be an independent reason to say that the lulav, after all, does not have Kedushas Shvias, according to that opinion. Okay. Anyway, so continues the Gemara. So, but again, going back to Rashi's girsa then, Rashi's girsa is that we're now going to discuss the point whether firewood is subject to Kedushas Shvias or not. So that is in fact Tanoi, it's a machlokes Tanoi. The Tanya, Ein moistrin peres shvius lo la mishra v'lo la kvusa. You're not allowed to give over fruit of shmita for mishra, which is to soak flax. So, for example, Rashi says, let's say you were to take wine of shmita and soak flax in it. The first stage, we talked previously in Amos Sechta, that through the processing of flax has several stages. The first stage is you have to soak the flax for a while in some kind of, in the flax stems for a while in some kind of liquid in order to cause the outer shell of the stem to rot away, and then you'll have the fibers from inside. Sometimes, usually they would soak it in water. Conceivably, you could soak it in other liquids as well. So we're saying you can't use wine of shmita for that purpose, that's lamishra. V'loyla kvusa, also not for laundering. Again, for example, let's say to use wine or other liquids of shmita fruit to wash clothes in. Those, again, are hanas and achabiyura. Those, you don't have the hana right away. The hana comes only later on when you have the flax or when you have the clean clothes. So therefore, and we said before, lochem la'achla, the kind of use that you're allowed to have of shmita produce is where hana'osin or bi'oran shava, like eating or like smearing on your skin, or and then so forth, or as we said, like lighting a lamp with it, or whatever. So and mishra and kvosa are not don't fit that criteria. Therefore, you can't use them. Rabbi Yosi and Moistrin. Rabbi Yosi, on the other hand, says you could. Now, so we see that there's machlokes tanoim on this question of whether you're allowed to use peiros shvius for something where you have hana osan later than biora. So the Gemara says, my time in the Rabbi Yosi. So why does Rabbi Yosi say that you would be allowed to use them for mishra or for kvusa? My time in the Tanakama, actually. Why does the Tanakama say you can't? Because again, the pasuk says you're allowed to use shmita fruit for eating. And again, we said that means the kind of hana that's similar to eating, where hana osin and bi'oran happen at the same time, not the kvusa or the mishra, where the hana comes only later on. So my time in the Rabbi Yosi, what about, why does Rabbi Yosi say differently? Amakra lochem, because the pasuk says that, because the pasuk says, on the other hand, that it's lochem. He focuses on the word lochem. Lachem l'chol tzorcheichem. The word lachem for you means you can use it for any of your purposes. V'afilu mishra l'kvusa. So you can use it. So you can even use it for mishra and for mishra and kvusa. Even though the hana comes only later on in the beer. Rabbi Yosi doesn't care about that. By the way, Tosfos over here gives a different explanation based on Rashi and Bava Kamma. That the reason why we call Mishra or Kvusa, why we call them Hana Osan Acha Bi'oran, is because what happens is when it comes to using dye stuffs, you still have Hana Osir Bi'oran Shaba. It's true you don't wear the clothes until later, but what happens is the dye gets cooked and it gets absorbed into the garment at the same time. On the other hand, mishra or kvusa, what happens is, let's say you take the flax and put it into the wine, right then and there, you're not going to drink the wine anymore once you started soaking the flax in it. But on the other hand, it takes a few days of soaking the flax in there before it's ready for the next stage of processing. The same thing if you use it for washing clothes. The moment you put the clothes into the wine, you're not going to want to drink that wine anymore. But later on, but it takes some time for the clothes to be soaking in it in order to get out whatever dirt was in there. So in that sense, it's not hanas or biurin shop. Anyway, Rabbi Yosi, though, we're saying, doesn't care about that because he focuses on the word lachem, and these are lachem. These are uses of yours. So the Tanakama ksiv lachem knew, what does the Tanakama do with the word lachem? The answer is lachem d'la'achla, exactly what we said before. Lachem only works if it's similar to la'achla, which, as we said before, mishana osir bi'ore shava, only when the hana and the bi'or take place at the same time, yotzur mishra kvusa shana osir nacha bi'oran, as opposed to mishra and kvusa, which don't fit that criteria, either because, as we said, you only have the Rashi over here explains that you only have the hanal later on when you wear the clothes. And Tosfos over here brings from Rashi and Rabbi Kama, who explains a little differently, the hanal is only when the soaking process is finished. And that takes a couple of days. So according to the Tanna Kama, that's why you can't use it for Mishra and Kvusa. Sure, it says Lachem, but the Lachem is subject to the criteria of Ochla. What about, according to Rabbi Yossi, what does he do with the word la'achla, which seems to limit the lachem, that there's only certain kinds of lachem that are allowed? The answer is, Rabbi Yossi says that means that the fruit of Shemitah, you can use it for eating, but you can't use it for malugma, meaning for medicine. Kedetanya, as in fact we learn in a braisa, la'ochla v'loyla malugma. A braisa says that when the pasuk says about shmitah fruit that you can only use a la'ochla, implies v'loyla malugma, implies you can't use it for medicine. Now, ata omer la'ochla v'loyla malugma, or yena ela v'loyla kvusa. How do you know? Maybe it comes to say that you can't use it for laundry purposes. Maybe you could use it for medicine, but not for laundry. No, true omer la'ochla. The braisa continues, and we're saying that this braisa is according to Rabbi Yossi, that no, when it says lochem, includes laundering. When it says lochem, means that you're allowed to use it for laundry. So the question then is, we only have the word lochem, and you're logically telling me that lochem excludes malugma, but includes kvusa. How do you know? Maybe the other way around. Umara isa larabis a kvusa o lahoitsiya sa malugma. What makes you say, says the Tana of this braisa, that kvusa should be included and you're allowed to use shmita fruit, for example, wine, for kvusa, but that you should not be allowed to use it for malugma? What's the logic? And the logic is, marbani as a kvusa shashava b'choladim. The difference is, the braisa says, we're going to include that you can use it for laundry purposes because everybody needs that. Everybody needs lawn. Everybody needs their clothes washed. Umoitzia samalugma, as opposed to, we're going to exclude medical purposes, she'ena shava l'chol adam, which is not the same for all people because only sick people need it. So we see therefore that according to Rabbi Yossi, you are allowed to use shmita fruit for laundry, according to Rabbi Yossi, in other words, according to the Chachamim, the criteria is it has to be Hana Osir B'Oreh Shava. According to Rabbi Yossi, he says, I don't care about Hana Osir B'Oreh Shava. All I care about is that it should be a Hana that most people need. So therefore, that will include also laundry. That will include also soaking flax. Everybody in those days wore linen clothes. It was wool and linen were the two major fibers that people wore. So therefore, in effect, everybody needs it. The only thing that he's going to exclude is you can't use it for medicine. But therefore, so now it comes out. So now when we go back to Anomar Aleph, we said that Eitzim Dahasaka Tanoi, Yitzim Achloikus Tanoim, whether Kedushas Shvias applies to firewood. So now we understand that's part of the Machloikus of Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim. Firewood, we said, is not Hana Osir B'Oreh Shava, because you only have the enjoyment of it later on when the food is cooked or when you eat it. So Rabbi Yossi is going to say that that's a valid use of Shmita produce, because he doesn't care about Hana Osir B'Oreh Shava. Therefore, according to him, Kedushas Shvias will apply to firewood, whereas according to the Chachamim, it will not, because firewood, to begin with, is the kind of thing that ain't Hana Osin of Yoran Shava. So the Chachamim are going to say something which could be Hana Osin of Yoran Shava, then you have to use it that way. You're not allowed to use it for something where Hana Osin of Yoran are not Shava. So you're not allowed to take fruit or wine, which you could have eaten and had Hana Osin of Yoran Shava, and use it for laundry, where instead you're going to have Hana Osin of Yoran are not Shava. But according to them, something like firewood, where to begin with, The designated purpose of it is not Hana Osin or Bi'ur and Shaga, then according to them, Kedushas Shvias wouldn't apply to it, whereas according to Rabbi Yossi, it would. The Gemara continues. But again, so one way of looking at it then is a lulav, on the other hand, is not like regular firewood in that regard, because a lulav usually is used for sweeping the house, and that's Hana Osin or Bi'ur and Shaga. So we said that according to that, then it would come out So according to Rashi's girsa, which is the girsa we have printed in front of us in the Gemara, it would come out that a lulav definitely has kedusha shvius. Again, we said there is a different girsa which Rashi learned from his Rebbeim and which Rabbeinu Gershom wrote in his Gemara, and Tosfos and other Rishonim defend, that says stam etzim la saka tanoihi, there's machlokas tanoim, whether most wood is meant for firewood or not. And therefore, according to that way of looking at it, we could say the Chachamim hold most wood is in fact meant for firewood, and therefore we would go according to the majority of wood. And since that's not Hana also in the Oran Shava, then therefore Kedusha Shvius wouldn't apply, and that would be a reason to say that Kedusha Shvius would not in fact apply to the wood. Okay. The Gemara asked, Man Tona Lahada Tona Rabbanon. Now, so we have this machlokas of Rabbi Yosi and the Chachamim. What are valid purposes that you're allowed to use Shmita fruit for? So Man Tona Lahada Tona Rabbanon. Who is the Tana who would say what we learn in the following Braisa, that when it says la'ochla, that when you're allowed to use Shmita fruit to eat, implies the loyla malugma, you're not allowed to use it for medicine. And la'ochla v'loyla ziluf, la'ochla would also imply that you can't use it to sprinkle around your house. So Rashi describes sometimes they would take wine and sprinkle it around the house in order to give a good smell in the house. Like nowadays, you would spray air freshener. In those times, sometimes you would use wine for that purpose. In fact, we learned about that in Pesachim, about that concept of using wine as a spray. And in fact, the Gemara had an expression over there that wine for spraying is even more valuable than wine for drinking. On the other hand, the Shita Mekubetza says that's true, but that only applies to the kind of finicky person, the kind of upper class person who regularly would spray their house like that. For most people, that would just be wasting wine, and therefore la'ochla also includes the loyla hefsed, is you're not allowed to destroy it. Now, so Mishra and Kvisa are not considered hefsed, because after all, yeah, a person does need flax for clothes, and a person does need their clothes washed. So that can't be considered a hefsid, as opposed to ziluf, which would be considered a kind of hefsid because the average person does not need it. Only rich people use it. Anyway, so the Braisa says you can't use, so la'ochla implies you can't use it for medicine. You can't use it for spraying around your house. And la'ochla means v'loilasis menah piktivizin. It means you're not allowed to use shmita fruit to make an apiktivizin, which is something that you give a person to make them throw up. For example, a person ate something poisonous or a person overate or whatever, then you give them something, closer to our times, they used syrup of ipecac for that purpose. Some of us who are old enough may remember this stuff. But whatever, you have different kinds of things that you give a person sometimes to make them throw up. But that would also not be in the category of la'ochla, because again, that's not something that most people need. So the Gemara says, Kibman, who would that braisa be like? Necessarily, could have used. Necessarily, that braisa can only be according to Rabbi Yosi, the Irabbanan, because if it was according to the Chachamim, then they left out some important things. Ha'ikonami mishur kvusa. It would have also had to mention that you can't use it to soak flax and you can't use it to soak clothes for washing. So, and that was we said before. That was the Chachamim said you can't use it for those purposes because Hana Osir Bi'uran is not at the same time. And Rabbi Yosi disagreed because he says, I don't care about that. As long as it's Lachem, as long as it's something that most people need, then you're allowed to. On the other hand, Malugma and Ziluf and Apiktvizin is not something that most people need. Therefore, Rabbi Yosi will agree that those are also. So that's that then. So we have the bottom line is we have a machlokas of the Chachamim and Rabbi Yosi about what are the categories of things that you're allowed to use shmita fruit for. The Chachamim said anything where its normal use is hana osir bi'uran shava, then you have to use it for a use that also hana osir bi'uran shava, and so therefore you can't use it for mishra and kvusa, which don't fit that category. And also it has to be, according to them, something that is a normal use that most people are going to need, as opposed to malugma and so forth. Rabbi Yosi doesn't care about the first part, about hana osir bi'uran shava. He cares only about the second part, that it has to be something that most people need. And therefore he allows mishra and kvusa, but disallows malugma and the rest of them. And again, so according to that, so again, according to Rashi's Girsa, then firewood. So they both agree that fire. They both agree that firewood is subject to they. Yeah, no. They according to Rashi, they both agree that most wood is used for firewood, but they're arguing whether Kedusha Shvi'a applies to it, given that its usual use is not Hana Asir Bi'uran Shavah. And according to Tosfos and the other Rishonim, rather the Machlokas is whether we even say Stam Eitzim LaHasaka. Do we say that most wood is used for firewood? Which, given if we say that it is, that's not Hana Asir Bi'uran Shavah, and therefore Kedusha Shvi'a wouldn't apply to it, which therefore would include the lulav. Okay. More about the dinim of Shemitah. Let's go on to another topic within the dinim of Shemitah. Amar of Elazar, Ein Shvias Mischalalas Ela Derech Mekach. Now, we have like this. We've talked about before, and we're going to discuss this soon, that it's that you, now we said, for example, you're buying the Esrog from the Amoret, and we're saying that the kedusha now that now the money that you paid him for it now has kedusha shvius. Later, further down on the Amud, the Gemara is going to explain that what you have is actually the original Shemitah fruit still keeps its kedusha, but you also have the last thing you traded it for also has kedusha. So now. So let's talk about what's a valid method of transferring the kedusha from one item onto another. So Amar Rav Elazar, Ein Shvius Mischalalus Ela Derech Mekach. Rav Elazar says the only valid way to be mechalal shmita fruit, not really, we're using the word mechalal a little bit loosely. The actual fruit of shmita itself remains kaddish. So it's not like, for example, when you're mechalal maisusheni or other such things like that, or psula amakdoshin or whatever, where it loses its kedusha and the kedusha is transferred onto the new object. Here, it's not really like that. The original object still keeps its kedusha, as we're going to discuss further down on the Amud. What we mean is that the other thing should now have kedusha shvius. Rabbi Lazar says that only applies derech mekach if you're doing it in a way of buying and selling, but not by chilul. The difference is mekach would be, I have shmita fruit, you have money, or you have some other fruit, and we make an exchange. That would be derech mekach. Derech chilul would involve only one person, where I myself have fruit of shmita, and I say, I want to exchange that fruit for this money, or for this other fruit, or whatever. Rabbi Lazar says, that doesn't work, and the money, or the other fruit, does not get kedusha if I do it that way. Which is, that would be derech chilul. Rabbi Yechanan Oman, ben derech mekach, ben derech chilul. Rabbi Yechanan says it works either derech mekach or derech chilul. So either one would work. So the Gemara says, my time in the Rabbi Lazar. Why does Rabbi Lazar say only derech mekach? Why doesn't he say you can be mechalal like you would be mechalal ma'aser sheni? Ma'aser sheni, for example, you don't have to have somebody else involved. You yourself have produce of ma'aser sheni. You yourself have money. You say this is instead of that, and that's that. Then the fruit becomes chulon, and the money becomes kaddish. So why does Rabbi Lazar say that doesn't work with shmita fruit? So dechtiv b'shnas hayoyv. Because the pasuk says, in this view of Yovel, everybody should return to their original property. So it mentioned, the point is, the pasuk mentions the view of Yovel, which has the same dinim of kedusha of the produce as shmita does. The samuchle. Then the next pasuk continues. The chisimkru mimker. Then the next pasuk continues. If you sell something to somebody else, and the pasuk describes the dinim of how you're not allowed to cheat the other person or overcharge them, etc. So the point is, Rabbi Elazar says we have a hekesh over there between the dinim of yovel and therefore also of shmita and of buying and selling. So we see derech mekach, v'lo derech chilul. So we see that the concept of what happens to Yovel fruit or Shmita fruit only works derech mekach. Only that way are you able to transfer, or are you able to extend the kedusha to the money that you paid for it. V'Rabbi Yechanan, my time. Now, why does Rabbi Yechanan disagree? Because the pasuk says ki Yovel hi kodesh. The pasuk says it because it is Yovel, it's holy, implying ma kodesh. So therefore, the pasuk, in other words, is making an equation between yovel and hekesh. Ma kodesh ben derech mekach ben derech chilul. With kodesh, you can be mechalal it by selling or by being mechalal. So you can sell, so you have, for example, there's something that belongs to Hekdesh, the Gizbar can sell it to somebody, and that works. It actually brings from Psukim in Parashas B'chukosai that show that that works. And you also have, you have both. You have in the same pasuk, the upoda or the nimkar, that refers to derech chilul and derech nekach. So both of those work by Hekdesh. Therefore, Rav Elazar says, since it says ki yovel hi kodesh, then that implies that the same thing applies to food of yovel and of shmita. So therefore, ma kodesh ben derech mekach ben derech chilul, af shvias ben derech mekach ben derech chilul. Okay, the Gemara asks, Rav Yochanan hai ki simkur o mimka mai ovedlei. Now, Rav Elazar is learning from the fact that after B'shnas HaYovel HaZois, it continues with the case when you sell something to somebody else. So what is Rav Yochanan doing with that? But what is he doushing from that? The answer is, Mibay lel chidur Rav Yosi ben Chanina. He uses it to teach us what Rav Yosi ben Chanina said, the Tanya, Om Rav Yosi ben Chanina, bo yorei kama kosha avka shal shvias v'chola. Rav Yosi ben Chanina says, come see how harsh is the punishment for the avak of Shemitah. Avak literally means dust. So Rashi explains, the same way as you have, for example, avak ribis, avak Lashon Hara, it's not the primary issue of ribis, it's only ribis d'rabbanon, it's not primary thing of Lashon Hara, it's only like a little bit of Lashon Hara. So the same way you have over here, not primary thing of Shemitah. The primary thing of Shemitah is, the primary issue of Shemitah is the dinim about not working the land, and then the dinim about what, and the dinim about using the fruit in the right way, like we said before. And then you have within that the din la'ochla v'lo l'schora, that you're allowed to eat shmita fruit, but you're not allowed to run a business of selling shmita fruit. So therefore, and in particular, Tosfos explains that unlike working the land during shmita, which is a loisaseh, to not sell shmita fruit is only an eser, because the pasuk says va'ochla, that you should eat it, and from that we infer v'loy l'schora, but that's a lava b'mitzal eser, and it has the status of an eser. So therefore, so such a thing is called avak shvias. It's only like the dust of the mitzvah of shvias. And yet we see from what the pasuk goes on with topics one after the other in Parshas Bahar, we see how harsh is the punishment even for violating that. Rav Yosi says, "Adam noisiv and noisim peiros shvias. If a person does business with peiros shvias, l'soif mocheres metalpel of veskelov. Eventually, he's going to have to sell his movable possessions and his utensils, his objects. Shenema b'shnasa yovel azayt shuvu isha lachazase v'samuch levichisim kuromim kalam isecha b'gomer. And then the next pasuk describes where a person is selling something to somebody else. We were talking about Dovan, the Gemara explains elsewhere, Dovan Niknim, Yad Liyad, we're talking about something which is transferred from one hand to the other, meaning the Talpilim. And then Reb Yosi ben Chanina goes on with a long drosha, which the Gemara doesn't give all the details. The Gemara doesn't give all the details over here, but it goes on to say, if the person still doesn't do tshuva, then Hashem makes it, he becomes even poorer, and he has to sell his real estate, which is the next thing that the Psukim talk about. And if he still doesn't do tshuva, even then, he's going to wind up selling his house, and he's going to wind up selling himself into slavery, et cetera, et cetera. It goes throughout the whole, through the whole parasha of Bahar there. So Rabbi Yosi Bar Chanina says this concept, and Rabbi Yochanan says, so that's what we're learning from B'chisim Kuru Mimkar, the fact that the Torah is implying what the punishment is for violating even that minor din of Shemitah. We're not learning from that what you're saying, Rabbi Elazar, that you can only be mechalal shvias derech mekach. Okay, for Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar doesn't have to answer that. Rabbi Elazar doesn't have to answer that because okay, that's a very nice drasha, but still we can learn a halacha from those words. But the question is, Rabbi Elazar, hi krod Rabbi Yochanan my obedlei. Now Rabbi Yochanan brought a pasuk. Ki yovel hi kodesh, that therefore we say, he says, you see that there's a hekesh between yovel and shmita and kodesh. So just like kodesh, you can be mechalal either way. The same way shmita, you can be mechalal either way. So what is Rabbi Elazar doing with that pasuk? The answer is mibor le lechidatanya. He needs it to teach us the din that we learn in a braisa. Ki yovel hi kodesh. When it says that it is yovel, it is kodesh. Means ma kodesh tofas as domav, just like kodesh is able to grab a hold of the money you pay for it. Meaning, in other words, as we just said, if you take Hektish and exchange it for money, then the money becomes Hektish, and the original object of Hektish becomes Chulin. So just like that, Af Shvius Tefeses Zemer. The same way, Shvius also has the same status, and it's able to grab a hold of the money that you paid for it. So Rabbi Elazar needs the word Kodeshi to learn that concept. So therefore, he says you can't learn from Kodeshi the concept that it should be like Hektish in both regards. Whereas Rabbi Yechanan would say that you could learn both things from it. Rabbi Yechanan and Rabbi Pashtus would say that once we're comparing it to Hektish, then we're comparing it to Hektish throughout, and therefore it means that both methods would work. Okay, so the Gemara says, Tanya Kavasei de Rabbi Elazar, Tanya Kavasei de Rabbi Yechanan. In fact, we have Braises like both of them. So in other words, this is an older Machloikas, older than Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yechanan. You have Braises on both sides of it. Tanya Kavasei de Rabbi Elazar, Shvius Tefeses Zemer, a Braisa like Rabbi Elazar says that Shvius grabs its money, meaning, as we said, that the money that you paid for Shmita fruit now has Kedusha Shvius. Shenema ki yovel hi kodesh ti yalachem, ma kodesh tofes is dama v'osur, af shvias tefes is dama v'asura. So therefore, that's what Rabbi Elazar said. That's what he said. Rabbi Elazar learns from the word kodesh hi, from ki yovel hi kodesh. So continues the Braisa, I ma kodesh tofes dama v'yotza l'cholin. If you're comparing shvias to Hektish, then you would say, then the equation would continue. You would say with Hektish, when you redeem Hektish, and again, fine, according to the Belazar, we're saying Hektish, you can do either way, derech netach or derech chilul. Shvius, we're saying you can do only derech netach. Fine. The point is, according to the point is that what happens when you take Hektish and exchange it for money, whether derech mekach or derech chulul, what happens? The money becomes kodesh. The original chulin, the original hektish object becomes chulin. So if that's that's the case by kodesh, so shouldn't we say also af shvius tefeses the mayor of yotzis the chulin? Wouldn't that mean that the same thing applies to shvius? No, talmud lomer tia. No, because the pasuk says ki yovel hi kodesh tia lochem. So the word tia means bahava yosa tehei, means it retains its original status. So the shvius fruit itself always retains its original status, and it always has kedusha shvius. So ha ketzad. So what does that mean? How does this work out in practice? So lokach peiros shvius baser. Let's say a person took peiros shvius. Let's say a person took grapes of shvius and traded them with somebody else for meat. So the din is elu. So now both the grapes and the meat have kedusha shvius. Elu ve'elu misbarin b'shvius. Both ones are subject to beer. So we talked about yesterday, there comes a time of beer for every kind of produce when that kind of produce is no longer available out in the fields for the wild animals to be able to get a hold of. With grapes, for example, the Gemara mentions elsewhere, I think we learned in Pesachim, that the time for that is Pesach of the year after Shemitah. So what happens is you have grapes that grew during Shemitah. Grew for this purpose means that they grew one third of their growth during Shemitah. So now they continue to grow into the eighth year. They're still considered Shvius fruit. Eventually you pick them, whether at the end of the seventh year or whether during the eighth year. Either way, they have Kedusha Shvius. So you eat them, and as we said before, you have the various rules what you're allowed to use them for. You can't throw them away. You can't use them for medicines. According to the Chachamim, you can't use them for soaking clothes, etc., etc. Eventually, there comes Pesach of the year after Shemitah, and then at that point is the time of beer of grapes and the wine that you made from them. So then we said yesterday, there's Machlokes Rishonim, what beer consists of. Does it mean that you just put it out and make it Hefker, and then you can go and reclaim it from Hefker, or does it mean, according to the Rambam, that you actually have to destroy it? You have to eat it or destroy it. Whatever the case, the point is, not only the original grapes, which Reuven, grew grapes during Shemitah, and then I traded them with Shimon for meat. Now what happens is, Shimon, who has the grapes in his possession at the time of beer, is going to have to do beer on them. And I, Reuven, who have the meat, is also going to have to do beer at the same time. The meat has the status of the grapes that it was traded for, and therefore at the same time, Pesach, the eighth beer, I'm going to have to do beer on that meat. Next, continues the Braisa, Lokach b'bosod dogdim. Now what happens is I go and trade the meat with Levi for fish. Yotza basa v'nichmesu dagim. Now the meat no longer has kedushas shvius. So now the meat, Levi can keep the meat as long as he wants. But now the fish that I have instead has kedushas shvius. Instead of the meat, which was in turn was instead of the grapes, now the fish has kedushas shvius, and therefore I have to get rid of it at the time of eating. Lokach b'dogim yayin. If then you trade the fish for wine, yotze dogim minichas yayin, then the fish goes out, loses kedushas shvius, and the wine gains kedushas shvius. Lokach b'yayin shemen, and then if you trade the wine for oil, yotze yayin minichas shemen, then the wine goes out and the oil comes in. Ha ketzad. So the bottom line is, how does it work? Achron nichnas b'shvius, the last one in the chain gets kedushas shvius, or pri atzmei osur, and the original fruit remains osur with kedushas shvius. So at the end of this chain over here, what's going to happen is, come Pesach of the eighth year, whoever right now has the grapes is going to have to do beer on them, and I, who have the oil, which is the last item in the chain, is also going to have to do beer on that oil at the same time. The oil itself obviously was not oil of shvius, otherwise it would have its own beer time. But so the point is, so what happens is the first and last items in the chain have kedusha. So in that regard, shvius is different than hekdesh, where only the last item has kedusha. If I take hekdesh and I'm machal it on money, then the money now has kedusha. If I now take the money and go buy something else with it, then that something else becomes hekdesh and so forth. But with shvius, the original item also retains kedusha because it says tiyeh. So the bottom line is, since the Braisa mentions all these cases of lokach, mid katoni lokach, since every time the Braisa uses the expression lokach, that you bought from somebody else, alma derech mekach ein derech chiluloi. So you see that Braisa holds, like Rabbi Lazar, that only derech mekach is a valid way of being mechalo, shvius, and not really mechalo, because the original fruit still retains its kedusha, but derech chilul would not. If you were to do the same kind of thing with your own property, you were to take your own grapes of Shemitah and say, instead, I'm trading them for this meat that I have in my fridge, nothing would happen, according to Rabbi Lazar. Tanya Kavaseh de Rav Yechanan. On the other hand, we have a braisa like Rav Yechanan that it works their chilul as well, because the braisa says echad shvius ve'echad ma'aser sheni mischalalin can be mischalo al behema chayev oif. The shvius and ma'aser sheni can be mischalo on domestic or wild animals or birds, bein chayin bein shchotin, whether the animals are alive or dead. Divrei Rav Meir. That's what the mayor says. The Chum say, no, you can only be mechallel them on ones that are shechted, not on ones that are alive. Because we make a gzera, because otherwise, if you're allowed to be mechallel them on live animals, you might keep them alive and raise whole herds of animals from them. And then, so as far as Ma'aser Sheni, the problem therefore is that you're delaying bringing it to your Shalayim and eating it over there, because instead you're going to want to keep the animals around in order to raise a whole herd of them. And you're not supposed to. You're really supposed to deal with your Ma'aser. You're really supposed to deal with your Ma'aser Sheni every year. If you didn't, then fine. You have Bir Ma'aseris and Vidri Ma'aseris, but nevertheless, you're not really supposed to do that. And in the case of shvius, what's going to happen is that you're going to end up raising a whole herd of them and then trying to sell them and then making a whole business of them. And again, you can't do that because they have kedushas shvius and the ochlav loy v'scharda. You're only allowed to eat, not to do business with. So therefore, so the chachamim are saying that we don't want even mechalo either one, ma'aser or shmita, on live animals. Tosfos discusses over here at some length that actually we're talking about when you're doing it outside Yerushalayim. If you bring the Ma'aser Sheni money to Yerushalayim, then yes, you're allowed to buy live animals with it. And in fact, a very normal thing to do would be that you'd buy a live animal and bring it as a korban shlomo. Fine. So in this regard, Amar Rava machloikas bizcharin. So Rava says you should know the machloikas of Reb Meir and the Chachamim about whether you can be machal on live animals is only as far as male animals. But when it comes to female animals, they're both going to agree that you can't be mechalo on live animal because that you might raise birds of them. Female animals, after all, you can they're going to become pregnant. So you have more reasons. So even Reb Meir is not going to allow you to buy live female animals with them, because then you may keep them around, and then with mice or with shvius that creates problems. So the Chachamim are extending that to males as well. They're saying Zera that you can't buy males, because if you do, you might instead come to buy females. Reb Meir doesn't hold of that Zera, therefore he says you can buy males, but females definitely not, because then you're going to end up growing, then you're going to end up raising whole herds of them, and then with Maiser, it means you're delaying bringing it to Yerushalayim, and with Shvius, it means that you're going to end up using it for Schora, which is also. Okay, we'll continue tomorrow, Best Hashem. We have a further detail about the Machlokes of Rebbe Elazar and Rebbe Yochanan that we talked about, and then we'll continue from there. Yishkoyach.